Welcome to the ReGreen podcast. In this podcast series, we will explore the concept of nature-based solutions, the so-called NBS. The aim of the ReGreen research project is to accelerate the crucial transition toward equitable, green and healthy cities in Europe and in China by integrating nature as part of urban development. We will talk with experts from academia and businesses in the field to get an understanding of the international research, technologies and innovations, and the possibilities in a nature-based economy. Today's host is Marie-Yvonne Dalfeldt from Intergreen.
Hi there! Welcome to episode 6 of the ReGreen podcast. In the last episode, we talked about citizen science and how that can be a tool for including citizens in a sustainable urban development. In this episode, we will try to answer the question of why it is important to involve kids and young people in the process of regreening our cities. For this episode, I have invited my colleague from Intergreen, Stine Kaspar Kondrup, to talk to us about the projects and activities in ReGreen regarding nature learning. Stine, will you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Stine Kaspar Kondrup, and I'm the founder and creative director at Intergreen. Intergreen is a Copenhagen-based agency, and we are specialized in design and development of interactive learning experiences and advisory on sustainability projects.
Intergreen is part of the EU ReGreen project based on a former collaboration with Aarhus University in Denmark. Intergreen is part of and implicated in many projects within ReGreen, but the one we will concentrate on here is the project within Work Package 5, the work package about education, participation and awareness. Stine, first of all, why do you think it is important for kids and adults to learn about sustainability and nature?
We are in a biological crisis where we are in the first row experiencing how extinction of animal and plant species and destruction of ecosystems. And this is among many things due to the industrial development and global consumerism, but also the lack of regenerative agricultures that gives more back to nature than it drains and extracts. So this is serious, and we have lost connection and sense of belonging to nature. And if we teach not only kids, but this is our focus in ReGreen, but everybody about nature and biodiversity and ecosystems and how we're connected and codependent, then we can start to understand and reflect and care more about the natural world. So that's why we believe it's very important to teach kids and connect kids to nature.
So the first step for change is to know about nature?
Exactly, to become reconnected with nature, to explore all the beautiful aspects of nature and how it can have a positive impact on us.
So what's the best way to learn about nature?
That's a good question. There are many ways you can learn about nature. You can read a book, you can watch a movie, or you can learn about nature in school from your teacher. But being out there in nature have many positive impacts, both on mental and on a physical level, but also on our ability to learn is increased in nature. There are several studies indicating that nature improves our concentration, our quality of sleep, creativity, and our mental health. So there are many positive impacts of nature.
Why is it important to motivate specifically kids to get out into nature? How can kids contribute to sustainable urban development?
I think it's really important to bring in several societal groups. Of course, kids have a very, very creative mind, and I think we can learn a lot from kids, because the older we get, the more we forget to use our body, and use our imagination and our creativity. So kids really have an ability to imagine a city that are different from what we see today, where adults might be more influenced about what we already know or what we are used to. Kids have a more, let's say, naive way to that.
In France, a national decision was made in 2020 that each class in middle school and high school should elect two so-called eco-delegates amongst their peers. In September of this year, 2021, ReGreen partners met in Paris for the fifth ReGreen project meeting and following field trips, and a smaller group of partners went out to visit some of the Parisian schools.
We met these three inspiring eco-delegates at a school in Paris. And of course, they told me about the whole concept of eco-delegates, and I was really amazed by their knowledge and motivation and passion. So it's really nice to meet these young people that had a passion for bringing in more green and more biodiversity to the school.
Mentioned that she met three eco-delegates during the ReGreen meeting in Paris in September. We were so lucky that two of these three inspiring eco-delegates from Lycée Julie-Victoire d'Aubier have agreed to join me here today to talk about why it is important to involve kids in sustainable urban development. A great welcome to Christine Larmurier and Fadia Belkacem. Christine, will you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. My name is Kristen. I'm 15. I'm a high school student and I'm an eco-delegate.
Thank you. And Fadia?
Okay, so hi. My name is Fadia and I'm 15 years old too. I'm a pupil at high school Julie Victoire d'Aubier in Argenteuil. And I'm an eco-delegate too.
Thank you both so much for joining this podcast. You're both eco-delegates at your high school. Could you please explain to me what an eco-delegate is?
An eco-delegate is a pupil. There is two eco-delegates in each class, and their role is to represent the class in the high school to improve the biodiversity in the high school and to answer to the demands and the questions of the other students if they want more plants or just a better biodiversity life in their high school. Since 2020, there is a law directed by the educational minister that say that in each class, from the middle school to the high school, each class has to have two eco-delegates.
Why did you choose to become an eco-delegate, Christine?
I always loved nature. So last year, when the teacher said we have to choose two eco-delegates, I didn't heard this before, but it looks so good, so interesting. So I say me.
So your classmates elected you?
Yes.
What do you think about this idea of having two eco-delegates in every class?
So for me, I think it's a very good idea because today we know, we see in the radio, we see in the TV, we see in the news that we have to move for the nature. And we know too that young people are the key to move.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea because if isn't any eco-delegate, anyone will do something for change and for improving high school and middle school, and yeah, to improving by help nature. So I think we need ecology because it's important to move.
What is the biggest challenge you meet as an eco delegate?
For me, I think one of our challenges is going to be to overcome the boulders of our high schools, because I don't have doubt about the fact that we are going to change things in our high school. I don't have doubt that our young people are going to be interested by nature. But I think that we can do more.
So ideally, all eco-delegates of France could create a movement?
Why not, in fact? Why not? Everything is possible. We just want to, we just need to want it. And we don't, and we just need to do everything from the beginning to the end.
How can young people then participate in sustainable urban development?
I think they can do some things, imagine projects and start to, yeah, to prepare projects to start, even if they are not eco-delegates, they are more young. But think about planet, because they are future fighting, because it's really important for them, like for us.
We've talked about why it is important to involve young people in the regreening of our cities. The next question is then, how do we do it? Stine, let's turn back to the Regreen Work Package 5. As part of this work package, Intergreen is creating an educational platform, the visual universe of Greenopolis. Can you please give the listeners an introduction to what Greenopolis is, as well as what you hope to achieve with the educational digital platform?
We developed a digital educational platform called Greenopolis about sustainable urban development and nature-based solutions. And with that educational platform, we hope to inspire teachers to bring their students outside to explore, observe, reflect, and learn about nature from nature. And together with this digital platform, we developed a catalog of activities and exercises to be used outside in nature. Greenopolis is really one of its first kinds to introduce this concept of nature-based solutions at that level in school. And Greenopolis, our hope with it is really to inspire teachers and kids, and also the entire school and the school leaders, to invite more nature into the schoolyards, because a more diverse nature, the more learning potential. And Greenopolis really combines the digital and physical world and gives the teacher a lot of flexibility in the classroom and, well, basically how to use it.
So the intention behind Greenopolis is to use nature actively as part of, for example, biology classes. How was it in your school, Kristen? Is there a lot of green for you to explore in biology classes?
The high school is very gray and very, not very welcoming. I really, really want more green space. Yeah.
If there's so little green space, how do you learn about nature and biodiversity in school?
To be honest, we have a lot of lessons and we have a lot of theory, but we don't really practice. We don't have the chance, the luck to can go in the outside and to can see by our own eyes. And that's why I think it's a shame, because we could do it. There is some high school which have very big green spaces. There is high school which have spaces to grow up vegetables and fruits, and we don't have it. So we just learn by lessons, by pictures.
Is that a problem, do you think, Stine? That the girls and their classmates only learn theory and can't get outside to learn about nature in nature?
Yes, I think that's a problem, definitely. When kids are outside in nature, all senses are activated. Now I mention kids, but this is, of course, relevant for all people. Because the movement on different ground types, like grass, soil, sand, and so on, the smell, sight, taste, hearing, and the touch, all these senses are activated in nature. And learning about nature in nature can create a deeper understanding, and it increases the ability to process and remember the new information.
It sounds like you all agree that we need nature to learn about nature. So, Stine, going back to urban development, what can we do when planning our cities to make them more welcoming for everyone?
I think it's really important to include citizens in general in the urban planning and development, because we're not building cities for industries and corporations. We're building cities for people to live in. And in order to meet the different needs and behaviors in cities, we need to include or involve the citizens, and of course also kids or students in the urban planning.
In episode 5 of the ReGreen podcast, Simon Benato from the French National Museum of Natural History said that in order to foster sustainable urban development and build nature-based solutions, you need kids that know nature. Do you agree?
Yes, and that really underlines what I just said, that we need to understand what nature is and what it is capable of doing. And when we know just a fraction of that, we can start to put that knowledge into other settings, for example, urban development.
Kristin and Fadia, as ECHO delegates, how will you explain to teachers and students at your school how important nature is?
For me, I think that there exist different ways. Just first of all, the voice. Today, our voice, the voice of the youngest, is very important. And then just to show it, because we said that human has the eyes and the voice. So we are going, I think one of the best ways could be to explain them and to show them.
Yeah, I think we have a huge role of, yeah. Some people think they are even concerned by nature and biodiversity, but it's not real. So we have to explain them and show them how it's important.
Right. So you consider it a big part of your role as ECHO delegates to raise awareness amongst your peers and the teachers at your school about the many positive effects of nature and how we should protect it. What is your dream project at school?
So many things. So maybe Kristen, you can start.
Yes, I think first of all, I would a lot of grass on all the area because it's so much so better, I think. And I think plants in the class or something like this.
So I really agree with Kristen. I think one of our main projects this year and in the next few years is going to put more grass, but more plants, more biodiversity, maybe, why not insect total? I think it's one of the projects of the EcoDelegate now. I think that if people were more informed about this role and more informed about all the power, all the things they can do, we could do anything.
Vadia and Kristen, what potential do you have as eco-delegates in relation to your peers, do you think? What do you think the decision of having eco-delegates in every class will change?
I think this potential is that today we have the chance to show them that nature is important. We didn't have this knowledge when we were young, and unlike some European countries where nature has an important role from the little age, let the middle school pupil become an eco-delegate. It shows them, okay, you have the key of a new world. You have all you want to do, you can do it.
Yeah, I think it's important because more they implicate young, more they can do things.
This role is just going to make them more responsible.
Stine, what potential do you think such a national decision of eco-delegates in every class will have?
I think it can really inspire a lot of young people to know that they have a voice and raise their voices, and it can create a common framework or a language to engage and talk about these topics. So I think kids or young people really have a big influence, because what they're passionate about or interested in, they will tell their parents. And when they can put these rings in the water, then we can start to see some movements.
What about yourself, Stine? Do you consider yourself as young or as a boring grown-up?
That's a good question. When I talk to these young people, I feel very old. But I still consider myself as a young adult, an old youngster. I don't know. I'm right in between.
All right. And as an in-betweener then, what is your passion?
My passion is to invite people to see the many beautiful nuances of nature and what it can do. Nature holds all the solutions to our problems, both mentally, physically, our urban development challenges. Nature is just beautiful.
So what about you, Fadia Belkacem and Kristen Larmurier? What can you do as eco-delegates to make a change and to open the eyes of your peers?
I think we can talk about this, about eco-delegate, about what is it, about what we can do, about the power that we have.
Yes, Kristen talked about talking. I'm going to talk to you about acting. I think we need to do some actions and to show to the world what we can do. And show to the world starts by show to our high schools, show to our teammates, show to our city.
I want to say a big thanks to all three of you. There's no doubt in my mind that we need to involve kids and young people in the process of regreening our cities. It will be interesting to see if any other countries follow up on the decision of eco-delegates. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Regreen podcast, where we visit the urban living lab of Velika Gorica in Croatia.
This podcast series is part of the Regreen research project, funded by the European Horizon 2020. Learn more at regreenproject.eu.